You're listening to the Slavic Literature Pod, your shelf help guide to all things Slavic. Do you want to freeball the intro, or should I?
We can do a normal intro, I suppose.
I guess we could do a normal. Well, then how will the people know that this is an office hours?
Well, probably by the sign on the door.
Oh, all right. Well, I guess if you've seen the sign, then you already know what you're here for, so we may as well introduce ourselves.
Well, you didn't read the syllabus. I mean, don't even try to tell me that. I know you didn't read the syllabus. You know how many emails I get every week?
Well, since you didn't read the syllabus, you're here. You should have read it, but whatever. Let's just get started. Matt, let's introduce ourselves for the students who have showed up to show how much they are not paying attention in class.
Yeah, we should do that. And I am Matt Garasimovich. I'm a PhD candidate at Northwestern. I study Russian literature and film.
And I'm Cameron Lalana. I don't belong in this office hours. However, I am trespassing on college grounds today in order to get closer and explain some things, because I am a literature enthusiast and a guy working in media.
Guy who went to the school of hard knocks, I would say.
That's what, when people ask me, like, oh, what degree, what university did you go to? How did you come here? I let them know I went to the school of hard knocks.
You know what's always is always good for me is when I see someone on Facebook who has that as their education, and they still have that like publicly displayed. Like that would have cleaned up in like 2012.
Yeah, that's awesome. They're living in another era.
It's not funny now, but it would have killed like 12.
No,
years
it
ago.
Still kills if you're that dedicated to it. Like there are some people I know who are using Facebook like they're about 40 years older than they are, and I love that for them. They are untouched by time, and frankly, I think that's more respectable than being blown with the wind.
Yeah, I mean, to not be a stepson of time. That's, yeah, to really, yeah, that's a little funny one for our life.
A funny little cheese day. Well, speaking of, this is an office hours, and it's a little less formal. Why don't we start talking about? Man, we're heading into we're in month three of Life and Fate. That's wild. So you've probably been here. You're probably tired of us hearing us talk about it. We've been talking about it so much. But man, Matt, how do you feel 3 months in? Just as a quick reflection. Let's do a check in, as we would say when I worked in nonprofits.
Yeah, we got to check in about our synergies.
I need roses, thorns, and buds from read along so far.
I tried doing that for about 1 week for a nonprofit that I work with, and that did not go over whatsoever.
I had to do it twice. I had to do it for over a year daily. It does leave an indelible stain upon your brain, so you were right to give it up early.
Yeah. Well, anyways, Life and Fate is my rosebud and thorn. I would say it is going well. I would say it seems to be slowing down slightly on the community aspect, which is a little sad because that is a good motivator for me to keep wanting to write and work on it. But I think that's kind of inevitable over whatever we have, 300 chapter, 250 chapter book.
I think it's only like 190. So,
well, it feels like 300. So not everyone's going to be a winner in terms of audience engagement.
Yeah, that is fair.
I don't know why I said three. I just like mentally prepared myself for a 300 chapter book, which
I mean, once you start getting over 150 chapters, I think it's a little.
it all just fades to mush. It doesn't matter. No, I do love doing the series. I'm really glad that we did it. It's been really challenging. I'm not sure if I would do it again in the way that we've been doing it, which is the writing the post a day. That was quite a lot, and I've probably already said that before, but what I'm trying to think about now is what to do with everything once we have all of this writing, and we have a couple ideas on where we could go with it, but I'll kind of leave it at that little teaser, see if we come up with something interesting to do with all this writing and work that we've been doing, because I really want to make this into something that people can continue to use after we're done with the series. Maybe you didn't want to read a chapter a day, maybe that's not the right format for you, or I don't know, maybe you want to do this kind of thing but with like your own group of friends, not with us, or maybe you just got on it too late. So we're trying to think of ways to make this so it could be kind of like an evergreen thing for people to access and continue to use, because that was kind of a goal of mine, was to, you know, make something that will stand the test of steps on time.
Right. Well, and it's tough going, but I think having this available to us, this writing, gives us some room to play around. We've talked previously about how we want to try to find, you know, we want to be able to help. The goal is to help people to learn. That's what we want to do. Podcasting is our traditional method, but there are innumerable other methods out there that we're also looking to explore. And this is like a good, I'd say a foot in the door. I'd hope 190 chapters of writing is more than a foot in the door, but you know, another way for us to get at that same goal that we've been shooting at for a long time.
Yeah, trying to broaden our podcast mission or come up with more avenues to kind of reach our goal.
Give ourselves more work for no more benefit.
Exactly. Less bang for a buck.
That's the hope.
Yeah. With Grossman, as with pretty much every author that we've covered on the show, there's just not that much written about them. You're either getting like paywalled academic articles, or in Grossman's case, you're getting like articles that haven't been translated from Russian, because not that many people in English write about him. And even the stuff that's written in Russian about him is some of it's good, some of it's so-so, as with all scholarship. Not everything's groundbreaking necessary for you to read. But there's not a lot geared towards what I would consider our audience, which is generally, I'd say, non-specialists. And that's not right. There should be more stuff.
And that's why we're dedicating 5 to 6 months of our lives to doing this.
Let's go.
Indeed.
How are you liking it so far?
Great. I share similar, I would say, tiredness of you. We both still kind of feel the tiredness of it. I've definitely had to reorganize my life a little bit around editing now with the daily upload. But it's been good to think about this novel in such detail and be able to think about, not only talk about it with you, see what other people are thinking about it, seeing their reactions to it, seeing what we talk about, what seems to resound with people. Being able to challenge, and the writing is tough, but it's challenging in a really good way to keep thinking about what does this mean. And there are plenty of other times, especially because we are on pretty tight deadlines. Sometimes I will say, I come across a question that I have in a text, and I just think there are so many other things for us to address. We're just gonna have to let this one go. You know, I only have so many days of prep time before we record in any given week. So being forced to sit down and like every chapter and thinking about those questions has been nice in a way that you don't, I'd say you don't typically, but really what I mean to say is you basically never get for any novel unless you're really dedicating yourself to it. So
asked me over email, they were like, this is before we did the series, they were like, will you do an episode of chapter for Anna Karenina? And I said no, but I don't know, maybe we will at some point, but need a little more time.
We like start planning this 4 months out. It turns out we needed way more than that.
Well, we didn't start writing until probably what I realized now is too late. And I'm not sure I would have written about a chapter every day. I would have maybe spread it a little differently. You know, looking at arcs, themes, something as you read along, but maybe not per day. Unless you really like per day, let us know. Maybe we'll keep doing it. I'll make Cameron keep doing it. You can't say no once I get rolling on an idea.
That's how the hive mind works. Left brain goes for it. Right brain says, okay, let's do it. But, you know, still a work in progress. If you have thoughts, more than happy to hear them. That actually is one of the main reasons we do anything we do, because we don't know if anything's working if no one tells us, hey, this worked, this didn't work.
Constant validation keeps this ship going.
that too. All right, well, I think maybe that's enough life and fate for now. There will be certainly plenty more from there. Let's kick back a little bit. Have you been reading anything other than Life and Fate? And it's very possible that the answer is no, outside of what you do for your what you're doing for your thesis right now.
I've been reading, not really. I've been reading a little bit more of some of the things that we have to come on the show. So I'm not sure that really counts. I'm reading The Body of the Soul by Ludmila Ulitskaya, which was sent to us by Yale University Press. Thank you so much. And that's something that I like literally just started. So I've been going through a little bit of that so far. It's pretty quick. It's a collection of short stories. It's been good so far. We're covering it in April, I think. So we're getting a little bit of a head start on that. And then other than that, I've just been actually really, really actually heavily working on my dissertation. So I've been reading a lot, but not like anything worth talking about at the moment. You know, nothing I can give you a book report on. I just like, I'm just waiting to see how many books I can stack in the shelves on my on the shelves in my closet before I cause a structural collapse of my
Well, how
office.
Many are we up to now?
I don't know. I have these kind of like wire shelves in there, and I don't know. I hope they're screwed into something very very sturdy, because otherwise I'm not sure that they're really going to hold. I've put them all on one shelf, which is not a good idea.
All right, well.
Might have to redistribute.
We'll find out what their load-bearing capacity is when you go one book above that.
I don't know. I'm up to probably like 100 checked out books from our library, which is pretty good. It's not the most I've heard of by any means, and we're only going more by the day.
If you go overdue on that many books, do they just come kill you?
I don't know what happens. I think they're fine, because as long as they get them back, they're happy with you. That as an academic, you accomplished a task. They're like, that's good. They pat you on the head and send you on your way.
Good job, buddy. Here's a lollipop.
Our term date, like, you can keep them checked out for like the whole academic year. And I think you can renew them like twice. So you can keep books checked out for like 3-ish years from academic libraries, which is not uncommon. It's pretty nice, because a lot of times research will take that long. Often longer. I have many books that I've returned and then checked right back out. So, you know, that's good. I'll probably be up to several hundred by the time I'm done writing. But, you know, such is the process.
That's the process. That is the process.
Will I be any smarter? I don't know. We'll see.
Well, you can certainly write. You'll certainly be able to say a lot about it. And isn't that just as good?
Yeah. Well, as we know, it's most important to be able to take up space while talking rather than to say anything of consequence.
Yes, I think that if we've learned anything from Dostoevsky and Tolstoy and many other authors, I think that's what they've meant to convey.
Mm-hmm. Probably. Who's to say? Have you been reading anything that's not life?
Outside of what we're doing, not a ton. We did have one of our Discord users, Sally, recommend me The City and the City during a conversation about the video game Disco Elysium. As I was told, that was an influence on it, and it was a wonderful little mystery about it. And I've been enjoying it. I did enjoy it. I've already finished it, but it was, I'm a big fan of noir, and every once in a while I get reminded that I need to be reading a lot. Not that I need to, but I should be reading a lot more mystery and noir, because it's a fun. It, I mean, it's very easy for it to be a very lazy and not that interesting genre. But when people get interesting with it, they really do. There's some fun stuff to plug and chug there.
Yeah, I appreciate getting suggestions from our Discord. I will almost never take them, because my rule of all art basically is I'm very hard-headed, and I need it to be recommended to me by like a handful of different people. So they still count. I'm not going to take individual suggestions, most likely, because I'm broken in that way. And I need multiple people to recommend them to me before I can be sufficiently peer pressured into doing something.
Well, no, that's entirely fair. Well, I think that's part of why our partnership works, because
anytime anyone says just into our podcast Discord ether, I read this, it was interesting. Cameron, like, same day is like, awesome, I'm going to check that out later today. And I'm like, they didn't say you have to do that. I mean, nothing wrong with it, but like,
I'm saying that's how it works. You've got the high level for, I'm going to get into what we really need to. I've got specialized knowledge, and then me, I've got no specialized knowledge, because I've got very little time to really delve into anything. But boy, do I have a lot of generalized knowledge, and that's why this works. We cover all our bases.
You need like the opposite of whatever that how to win friends and influence people. You need you know, how to not be influenced, basically.
But anywho, let's talk about some messages we've got. I've been so interested to get into this one. Can you please take us forward to cringy Dostoevsky Instagram reels? What's going on here?
I am really not sure. We got an email about a month or so ago from a very astute listener, clearly, who heeded our rallying cry to send us any problematic Russian, Slavic, Soviet, Eastern European, or general literary takes that you find online so that we can fill these episodes. Without you, we can't fill these episodes. It is your sacred duty, yes, to help us fill these episodes. They said you should do an episode or talk about cringy Dostoevsky reels online, presumably, you know, on Instagram. That's what they sent us.
And then there's a link as well to an Instagram reel.
And this one, I would say, isn't really cringy because I don't really understand what's happening. It more felt like I had a stroke while reading it. And I heard Cameron, it sounded like he had a brain aneurysm right while he was reading it at the same exact spot that I paused. And it's, you know, I don't really know what it is. I'm not sure what the sound is. I'm not sure what's happening. It just says that 10% of Dostoevsky's most darkest scenes in every novel. And honestly, also, I felt that.
I
felt that in my brain, mostly.
I also want to emphasize that this text is over the Batman, the Robert Pattinson film, with like the part where he's at the funeral, but cuts to the Batman at the very end.
I honestly didn't. I watched this like 10 times before I sent it to you. I didn't even realize that was Batman at the end. I didn't. I was so like... Right. So thrown by the text.
I was telling Matt, like, my instant reaction was like, oh, is this AI generated? But the more I thought about it, I was like, this can't be, because it would be, this sort of writing, this is way too human. I don't know. I feel like if this was an AI, I would expect it to make, not make more sense, but to look like it makes more sense than this.
I think if anything, it's maybe somebody who's not a native English speaker, which... no hate on that, but it does. I also had the same thought where I was like, is it AI generated? Because like, I would say a non-zero portion of what you see that is Dostoevsky content is essentially either is or
right.
should have been AI generated in terms of like level of effort put into it, which is just kind of like, you know, like Instagram quote accounts or like really bad Instagram book accounts, not like things that are like borderline, like not even human. And they just slap a quote completely out of context onto something that has been absolutely rammed through a dark academia filter. And then I'm not sure why, but that generates far more engagement than anything we post on social media. And I hate the player and I also hate the game. I got to say on that one. It's upsetting to me.
I've accepted it. It's what we're gonna get.
Yeah, I think at this point I have a sort of tacit acceptance of this.
I would go through and try to find more, but I mean, they're all just when I went through and like briefly looked around these pages and similar ones, they're all nonsensical. I don't understand what point you're making. Like, when I come back around, like, is this AI generated? Because all the comments also don't make sense.
Right. Yeah. No, they don't.
Maybe a dead internet theory is true and no one on the internet's real. It's all bot accounts all the way down.
Honestly, for Dostoevsky specifically, I think there's a higher proportion of bot accounts. Tolstoy gets a little bit of it, but not maybe quite as much. I don't know.
I would go back again to, you know, I'll defend Dostoevsky, certainly. But whenever I immediately will get sent off if someone starts talking about how much about Dostoevsky without having like a single... without any apparent knowledge of anything specific, more just generally being like, wasn't this so deep? Doesn't this have so much psychological insight? Tell me the insight. Whatever, it doesn't have to be good. I don't care if it's good or not. Just tell me something you took away. That's all I ask.
What I took away is that I'm smarter than you.
That was
my takeaway from reading Dostoevsky.
I think that is probably the most important takeaway to have, really.
Yeah.
God, I'm scrolling through the rest of this page that was linked.
It's not that helpful.
Me, when their favorite authors aren't Dostoevsky, Camus, Sartre, and Kafka. Look, I like all of those authors, but if someone lists those off as like their five favorites, that one's a good sign that you should run.
Yeah.
Look, I like them all. I'll defend all of them individually, but as soon as you start, it's
a bull take.
In my mind, it's the same way as you go into a conversation and someone's like, oh, I'm like really proud of my Scottish heritage. Like, that's cool. And like, I'm really proud of my white heritage. That's a bit different. You could be talking about the same thing, but they have very different, very different vibes to them.
Yeah, they do. Specifically on Instagram Reels, where it is essentially just the scourge of the earth.
Well, perhaps we should leave that alone there. Maybe another time we'll get a big collection of like all the worst Dostoevsky Instagram Reels, and I feel like that'd be better for a visual medium. Maybe when we come back,
yes.
If we ever do come back and do a live stream, we'll collect those so we can everyone can enjoy them.
And we're about to become the most specific reaction YouTubers you've ever seen.
We only react to like Slavic literature being used in inappropriate contexts, like whenever you see Dostoevsky being quoted in like a hotel painting or something.
What's the painting that you have? Don't you have a Trotsky Home Goods one?
Oh yeah, my yeah. favorite. If you've been here a long time, you'll know. But I have this is such a treasured memory of mine. A friend of mine in college texted me, he's like, "Hey, Cameron, Trotsky's like that guy from the Russian Revolution, right?" I'm like, "Yeah." And they're like, "The Home Goods is selling a Leon Trotsky quote on a canvas." And I don't have it within eyesight of me right now, but it says something like, you know, "Life is beautiful, Leon Trotsky." And I was like, "No way." And it's a big white canvas, it's rainbow font. I think I was on my way somewhere, and I made new plans. I went to Home Goods. I bought several canvases. I bought a lot of very different versions of this. I don't know why they had this, but it's incredible. It's a real, by the way, it's a real Trotsky line.
I would risk the life of myself and my newborn child to get my hands on a copy of that from my local Home Goods.
it's had its life cycle. I would love to know who had that. I feel blessed that I was in that small little period where they had it on canvases, they had it on fridge magnets, they had it on.
I'd love to know who was selling that. Like, what dropshipper absolutely scammed Home Goods into buying that? You know, like, I would buy that guy's YouTube course.
Look, you can say a lot about the historical literacy of the American people, but sometimes it breeds beautiful things like this, because someone was going through brainyquotes.com and they saw a good, they searched life beautiful and they found this. They said, "That sounds good. I don't need to do any more research."
If you don't have Dostoevsky Instagram Reels, you don't get Trotsky rainbow right. "Life is beautiful" quotes. These are one and the same, and maybe the lesson I've learned is that we need to allow a little bit of grace for those that are giving us some of the most beautiful parts of life.
Yeah, well, I think that's what I've definitely learned from Life and Fate, definitely, to take humans not on too many individual things, but to accept them as the whole complex being that they are. And if they have no idea who Trotsky is, definitely encourage them to put that into more Trotsky quotes into their work.
Yeah, they should be encouraged. Okay, I think now is a good time for a break. We'll be back in just a second.
This episode is brought to you by you, our listeners. You can support independent podcasting by heading to our website, slaviclibpod.com. You'll get access to the notes we use to make this episode, including links to all the secondary sources mentioned, mostly to Empress Teresa's website.
Well, you won't get my notes on this because I mostly scribbled on my wall and crammed to prepare for this. If you want to support the show but don't want to spend any of your hard-earned doubloons, you can join our email list for free at SlavicLitPod.com, or you can leave us a nice review wherever you get your podcasts.
Questions? Comments? Maybe you want to appear on our Office Hours podcasts? Drop us a line. You can reach our voicemail at 209-800-3944, or you can also email us a voice recording or text question at SlavicLitPod@gmail.com. We'll bring your questions onto the podcast and do our best to address it.
Please send me weird stuff that you find related to the podcast. I must preface.
If it's not related, just send it to my personal email. And
just send it to Kim. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Back to the cringe.
Okay. Can we talk about Empress Teresa?
Yeah. I was bad. I peeked at this before we started recording because I was so curious what the fonts were. What the font, right, is what exactly I was wondering. in our shared Google Doc. Why is it Christmas colored? Why? Second. And why are the bullet points all different sizes? One is larger point font, one is smaller point, and then one is all caps of the smaller one, but I think it's not quite maybe the same, maybe like an in-between. So I don't know, kind of a lot of visual flair going on.
Yeah, definitely the person who created this has a background in design, I would say, based on these decisions.
I would say it could be their passion.
Okay, let me set you a scene. If you've never heard of Empress Teresa, it's a novel that's been around for some number of years. I don't know exactly. And when I was in college, it had been out for at least a couple of years. And let me take some descriptions from the author himself, Norman Bouttine, on it. It, referring to Empress Teresa, is more exciting than Huckleberry Finn or Moby Dick. Two books notable for being exciting, I should say, while not sacrificing heart or many human characteristics.
But sacrificing some characteristics.
Not all of them. Well, let me pose this to you, Matt. Consider the following. How many stories do you know that are about an American teenage girl?
None.
Take place in present-day United States?
Almost none.
Okay. Have no foul language.
That's a tough one, because I feel like foul language is too prevalent in our society.
Right, as we all should, have no objectionable situations.
That's good. Yeah, I don't like to get myself involved in objectionable situations.
Right, exactly. Great point. Have no political agendas.
Cameron, if you are here to push another one of your left wing communist books onto me, I am not going to be very pleased with you.
No, I promise. I promise. Okay. This will be good for us. This okay. Has no references to race or LGBT.
You really hate to see when they reference LGBT. Yeah, that's tough.
We don't have any political agendas, and we also don't have the gays here. Those two things, those are statements that mean the same thing here in this case. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And have no violence.
Right, I also hate violence, yes.
Right, but I'm going to come through the last of these very quickly. I think we've spent enough times at this bit. But do have life's threatening situations. Do you have impossible
but
problems?
But not violence. Sorry, I just wanted to clarify.
Yeah, no, there are life threatening, but they are neither objectionable and they're not violent.
The problem is when you say violent, there's an L in there, and that is giving me a little bit of and a T, and that's giving me a little bit of pause.
Right.
So.
Right. And also, you might think maybe there is violence based on the cover of this book, which features. A young woman wearing a U.S. military uniform surrounded by guys on the ground, like holding weapons.
That's so different.
I think that, yeah, that's, well, when the troops do it, it's not violence. That's just good old fashioned. That's American duty right there.
Mm-hmm.
Have impossible problems solved with brilliant solutions, heroic sacrifice, have a wide variety of themes, coming of age, courage, generosity, youth, role of women, role of men, power, comma,
role of
good
women
and bad.
Isn't really a theme, but okay.
Yeah, I've also stuck on, I don't know if power, if it's power, comma, good and bad, like good and bad power, or power, comma, and separately, good and bad as themes.
Hmm.
Who knows?
Is there a typo? Sorry, I'm just looking at one of them. It says...
so many typos.
Impressed proper, not impressed people.
Yeah. Yeah, also, I've been fixing some of the grammar as I say it out loud. I should say there's a lot more misspellings in here.
Okay.
Let's see, what are his heartwarming scenes? That's my favorite theme, heartwarming scenes. Patriotism and many others.
Yeah, well, I think one thing that's really important when we talk about, like, world literature and literary fiction is that it's really important when the author comes on and says what the book is about. That's kind of one of those where, like, a Dostoevsky or... I can't say Tolstoy in this case, but kind of where they fall short. There's too much room for interpretation, I find, and that's a little bit that's difficult.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I'm just saying, if you hate higher education and academics, one way you could eliminate us is by saying what your book is about. Then we wouldn't need to interpret it, silly.
Wouldn't even need to, and that's why. That's why Norman Bouttine is the perfect website design for this. First tab on the website, home. Second tab on the website, study guide. So everyone, like you say, know what it's about. Third tab, genius, which is also about why the novel is so good.
Let's go.
It's the same thing.
Let's go.
And then the last one is Look Inside, giving you chapter one, chapter four, and Blair's defense. Yeah, sorry, let me just tell you the story real quick, because, yeah, a British Prime Minister Tony Blair is a main character in this novel.
Can I just say on the tabs real quick, the fact you have to scroll down to get to the tabs are not like, you know, on the top of the page, you have to scroll a little bit to get that genius.
Right. Well, you have to skip past Norman Bateen quoting his own work five times in a row.
Yeah, I do like, though, that the tabs get more urgent. It kind of reads more home, study guide, genius, look inside! Like the way they get more frantic.
It's like he's getting closer to the door, pounding on it with each tab.
But no violence, remember, please.
Yeah, that's right, no violence. Nothing's ever violent when Tony Blair is involved. All right, okay, right. So as short as, I only read half this novel, I had to give up. It, as much as I love it, it's not a good read, and it's really long. And it's been many years since I read it. But the basic idea
is... Well, why would
it
be genius if it's not a good read, Cameron?
It's true. I mean, you know, it's just like What Is to Be Done. Chernyshevsky wasn't a good writer, but of course you do have to read it, just like Empress Teresa.
Right. Otherwise, you don't really get a lot of, like, the culture surrounding it.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, so the very basic version of this story is there is a young girl. She's Catholic. It's very important. You got to remember, she's Catholic. She's a good Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
One day she runs into a ball of power, which she names Hal after Hal 9000, because as we all know, there's one cultural touchstone that every seven-year-old is going to get. It's 2001, A Space Odyssey. That's where the kids go. So this ball of power...
Kind of a cultural touchstone, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Then merges with her and gives her unlimited power. And
good and evil?
No, just good. She's okay. A good Catholic.
Okay.
And then she grows up and she's perfect. And she gets married at 18 and she is a good Catholic housewife to her husband, who's the head of the household and the primary bread earner. But also she like works with Tony Blair to fight North Korea, like shooting down missiles with her unlimited power. But, you know, don't worry. She's got to fight North Korea, but she makes it home at 4:30 so she can make her husband dinner at 5 o'clock.
Why North Korea?
I don't remember.
Do they do violence? Because I was assured there would be none of that.
Well, does it count as violence if the missiles don't land?
I like how military violence is not violence, this author. Like, very clearly.
This guy isn't super, I would say not super consistent. I suspect he maybe is just more consistent to a version of logics that I don't quite understand.
Considering he's named after soggy fries, it seems like his logic is about as solid.
Yeah, hold on. I'm sorry. And the website is so beautiful. I don't think he understands how websites work.
Okay, when I saw this, though, I kind of missed when websites were allowed to be designed like this. Right. A little piece of me is like nostalgic for web design that was just nuts.
Yeah. Every time you go down, it's like digging through the earth. They appear to be a number of updates stacked on top of each other. No lines of delineation. The only way to tell them apart is the fact that they're in different fonts and different colors.
Are they dated?
No, they're not dated.
That's awesome.
And when there are links in here, they're not hyperlinks. It's just the links copy-pasted in.
You're telling me I could get rogue linked as I'm scrolling through this webpage on my phone?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh God, it is.
Well, what's some of the earth that you're digging?
The earth things. Well, let me see. Here's one of my favorite ones. Once in Empress Teresa, violence, shootings, bombings, no. Foul language,
not.
Yeah, right. You'd really hope not. Foul language, no. Car chases, no. Sex scenes, no. Marital infidelity, no. Uh-huh. Suicide, no. Drugs, alcohol, no. Mystery, crime, no. I like the mystery, crime. There's no sex. There's no cheating. There's no violence. There's no mystery.
I kind of feel like he doesn't really quite get how to sell a book.
I know. Well, it gets better. Mysterious events, yes. There's no mystery, but there are mysterious events.
This is the worst Call of Cthulhu campaign I've ever seen.
Impossible problem solved, yes. Stupid, greedy adversaries, yes. Okay. We all want more of. Teenage ingenuity, yes. Love and friendship, yes. Pet chipmunks, yes.
All right, so this was clearly post-Alvin and the Chipmunks era.
Right, wait, hold on, this gets better.
He saw Alvin and his friends sing Uptown Girl and thought, They must be adorable sidekicks in my next novel.
Okay, wait, hold on. U.S. President, British Prime Minister, Israeli Prime Minister, yes.
All right.
Global crises, yes. Political situations, yes. Philosophical remarks, yes.
Doubtful.
Heartwarming scenes, yes. Heartwarming scenes, yes. So there's no sex, but there is Tony Blair. I like right below that, there's also Empress Teresa is a favorite target of trolls. And then he just starts putting quotes from the quote-unquote trolls below.
That's awesome.
It's just, it's so beautiful. It keeps going.
Uh-huh.
And as you pointed out, if you go all the way to the very end, there's like a I don't know if this is like one of those little things where it auto pulls the reviews from Amazon
be.
Or if this is like an embed, but it's an Amazon review, which is one star, which is just it just says life trading. That's all that's at the very bottom. That's the only review on this page. I'm pretty certain it's a link.
Well, it has 1.5 stars on Goodreads, but it has 255 votes, which is not bad, I will say. It's 468 pages?
Yeah, it's so long. It's so little happens.
That's pretty a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Is he going back in here and editing? Look at this. In bold on Amazon, it says, now, why is Taylor Swift so popular? Girls want to be Taylor Swift. Obviously. They also want to be Teresa.
That's true. That's what I hear.
Is he SEO baiting this? Because honestly, respect.
I think he's still, I don't know how long ago he put this out, but I think to today, he's still, this is his magnum opus. He logs into Amazon to fight people in the comment section every day.
I hope so. Oh, yeah. The comments are kind of what you would expect. Some people are really engaging with this, though. Like, wow, this is a lot. Someone really read a lot of it.
Wait, give me what are the positive ones?
Well, this one was not positive. The one that's engaging. This one, absolute greatness. This book changed my life. When I received this masterpiece, I thought I was sent the wrong product because the artwork on the front cover was so beautiful. I thought I received a copy of the Mona Lisa. When I got over my initial shock of the book's fantastic cover art, I settled down with a drink and food to go on an unbelievable journey in literature form. Female lead character Teresa is a likable teenage girl who is extremely relatable on so many levels it made me believe she was there in the room with me. The fact that she gets alien powers is also a win. Good thing there's no violence, though. I hope that stays that way.
Yeah, right.
The amount of times I got worried for her during my first of many read-throughs of this book astonished me because I don't normally care so deeply about characters in books. This book has everything from terrorists, global weather shifts that threaten all life on Earth.
Right.
And that doesn't sound real. And other things with the power, with the only person on the planet capable of saving everything and everyone being a loving, Christian girl with powers. This book is set pride of place in the cabinet with a shrine dedicated to it because this book has become my new holy text because it is so good. I now refuse to accept any other form of literature because anything else is far inferior. I'm in love with this work of greatness that has been gifted upon this world by a monolithic entity who has deemed us lowly creatures worthy to look upon the words of gospel. That sounds good. I mean, I kind of feel like you were given a like not so good of a review. I also just as we're doing this, I'm like, man, this is we're sitting on a gold mine. This is what our next podcast should be. Random Amazon books. The only thing is, I think I'd legitimately feel bad being mean to people that frequently. It's easier when the authors are dead.
That's true. Well, we'll just have to kill them, and then that solves that problem.
That's all right. Well, that's the setup for our third podcast, which is, of course, our true crime. The twist is that you see it on our Patreon, like our exclusive episodes, is just what we've been doing it the whole time. We try to outsmart our listeners. We let you try to solve the crime.
The crime is, where are we now?
leaving breadcrumb clues to you.
Mr. Podcast listener, I gave you all the clues.
This was life-changing, though.
It's so, I love that there he just keeps, when I was in college, the website was different. It was same basic template, but the fact that the genius of Empress Teresa is definitely new. in the intervening years. And I just love the fact mm-hmm. that he keeps going back and is like, oh, we need another guide on why this novel is so good.
Actually, I didn't even look at the guide.
Normally I'd feel bad about, like, because this is, if you're getting this into your book, I don't know if there's a lot else going on for you, but frankly, this man's in the trenches. There's nothing I can say that he hasn't already heard 10 times worse, and he came out stronger for it, so... He might be the modern Superman. He might be the modern Prometheus.
Okay, there is a lot going on in the study guide.
I like the genius page that there's like more will be added soon. And point 11 is ET lacks bigotry. Just so we're all clear, that it does not have race, it doesn't have the gays, and it doesn't have bigotry. That's good. I was feeling a little unsteady about that before, but now I've been reassured.
It does have the Universal Catechism of the Catholic Church. That's good. This isn't really much of a study guide.
No, this is the best study guide. What do you mean?
It's kind of... I don't know.
I like how each one is delineated from the next by two dashes, but that it could just... That could mean it's just linking to a page, and it could mean that we're talking about a new theme now.
Right, and... Yeah, the typography is good. What makes Teresa representative of others is that she represents what God intended for everyone to be, 5! It seems, though, a little different because isn't she set apart as the...
Yeah, Hal.
The alien baby? Well, not baby. Sorry. There's no none of that in this book.
Oh, here we go. I have been accused of writing a Mary Sue character, a girl who is perfect in everything she does and is perfect in herself, but Teresa is not perfect. She cries. She gets angry. See chapter 22. Glad you had that written down. She gets discouraged and wants to forget everything and go home. She will be the first to admit she couldn't have gotten through the impossible problems without the help of her husband, Steve, who comes up with some ingenious solutions. I'm glad I'm glad we're really reinforcing that the husband's super got to be really important here. She's got unlimited alien powers, but she has to have her husband there.
She represents what everyone's supposed to be, which is someone whose problems right. are solved clearly by their husband. And somehow JFK's inaugural yeah. address is in the study guide, part of it.
I'm sorry. There's a section of the study guide for a husband, Steve Hartley. The first bullet point, indispensable man.
All right. So it's interesting. It's a female right. lead, but not really.
Wait, at some point, I think Teresa becomes the world empress. I don't even remember that part.
You didn't read the sequel, obviously. It's clearly building towards a very satisfying accumulation of events in the third book. The fact is that this man has sold more copies. It's probably made more money selling copies of this book than we've made doing this podcast. And, you know, honestly, I got to respect him for that.
You know, when I was in college, I emailed him and I asked him, can you write it? I'll buy the book if you write an autobiography about yourself. And he said he would, but he hasn't done that yet. So, Norman, I hope you're still working on that because I will still buy it if you publish that.
I'll buy 10 copies and I will send them out to our listeners.
That's what...
Not even with podcast funds, with my
Norman,
own
Norman, if you're listening,
money.
Which I have to assume you are. Please.
He can't hear you over the military equipment he has just recently put on to to assassinate us.
Yeah, but anyway, that's all I had. There's so much more. I mean, it's like this is such a deep rabbit hole. This is like a full week of my life in college was just like
it
me
is.
And my friends just sitting like reading this website and reading the book. It was so much.
I kind of want to get into it. I'm not going to lie. This is one of the first ones you brought me that I thought I should go for it.
Yeah, well, I feel like you could become some sort of documentarian, maybe really give the Empress Teresa the academic treatment it deserves.
Mm. Mm. That's true. I mean, but it's kind of hard when you already have a study guide.
That's true. That's true. I mean, it's already perfect. We've learned all about the indispensable man, Steve Hartley.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Pretty much. Maybe this is a good place to cut it off for today.
Yeah, I think so.
Before we completely wrap up, Matt, I gotta ask, what are we tackling in our next episode?
Next episode, we are going to be reading the short story Light Breathing by Yvonne Bunin. If you're planning on reading along with us, be sure to pick up your copy through our affiliate links on our website.
Now, it won't be as engaging as Empress Teresa, but it will still be very worthwhile listening, worthwhile read as well.
True. So you may as well stick around. To help keep our show independent and for exclusive access to notes containing all the research that went into this episode, head on over to our website, SlavicLitPod.com. Before we let you go, we want to extend a sincere thank you to all of our current supporters.
Yes, and that's Emma, Lauren, Erica, Michelle, Juliana, Diane, Oleg, John, Timex, Melissa, Baron, Aldo, Ben, Gabe, George, Claire, Amy, Allie, Soraya, Jackson, Molly, Emma, Mike, Marianne, Mickey, Eric, Reagan, Mike, Peter, Eric, Ben, Claire, Jeff, Inez, Mai, Robert, Joseph, Daniel, Lou, Nina, Gary, Janice, Mary, Ann, Isaac, Emily, Amanda, Caitlin, Yitza, Irene, and Pac Rob.
The music used in this episode was Staraya Kino by Paramotka. You can find more of their stuff on Bandcamp or Spotify. The links and spelling are in the show notes.
You'll hear from us again soon.